uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Hey everyone, this is Motherboard Editor-in-Chief Jason Kebler filling in for Matt Galt, and I have our senior editor Jordan Pearson. Jordan, hello.
Hello, hello.
What's going on? How's Canada? Is it cold?
It is freezing up here. I am not dealing with it super well, I'll be honest. Especially since today we have more of like a slush situation going on, but we'll make it through.
It's heartbreaking for me because you have a beautiful grill and it's hard to grill in the slush, as I hear.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging this because it's a trying time in my life. It really is.
Yeah. Well, we have you on today to talk about cryptocurrency, and specifically we're going to talk about Constitution DAO, which is Constitution DAO, the group of people who tried to buy the Constitution. We're going to talk about what a DAO is, what a shitcoin is, like that sort of thing. But first, I'm going to play a clip that sort of contextualizes some of the chaos, at least. So there was an auction a few weeks back in which Sotheby's was selling a copy of the U.S. Constitution. It sounded a little bit like this.
Sotheby's is presenting a unique single lot sale as part of our November marquee auction series, alongside our biggest sales of the year for contemporary and modern art. Such a showcase is a perfect presentation for one of the rarest and most prized pieces of American history, a first printing of the United States Constitution, dating to 1787.
Beautiful. So, important American history. Sotheby's announces that they're going to do this. Normally when some huge relic like this is being sold, it gets a lot of media attention. But in this case, we had a group of online people trying to buy the Constitution. How did this all come about, Jordan?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, DAOs have like a really long history, going back like a few years onto Ethereum, maybe like 2015, maybe even earlier. But there was this thing called the DAO, which was like, DAOs were so new, it was literally just called the DAO. And these are just supposed to be like kind of like new democratic organizations where people like vote with tokens, and these tokens eventually become valuable. And this idea has kind of been percolating for a few years. And just recently, you know, I think there was like a conference, and this group of like crypto people got together and said, hey, what if we start a DAO? And it's like, we buy the Constitution at this auction. So it started kind of like as almost like a joke, but it became a meme. And like very, very quickly, it gained steam and sort of like raised millions of dollars overnight, essentially, from like thousands and thousands of people.
Right. So a DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization. And I think there was like a local NPR episode about DAOs in general. And I think that someone that they quoted in one of the articles described it best. It's like a group chat with a bank account attached to a bank account. And so some of the things that DAOs can be used for are basically like, in a perfect world, it can be used to replace like a government structure or a company structure. So you basically get tokens, as Jordan was saying, and then you use those tokens to vote sort of on like the goings-ons of that organization. And so for a company, that might mean that you earn tokens by doing work, and then you are paid out like a fractionalized amount of the company's profits according to the amount of tokens that you have. Is that correct? Like that's at least how it's been described to me from people who are trying to use DAOs to basically like run companies, for example.
Yeah, that's generally it. Although like, I think it's important to note that like most of these DAOs, including the Constitution DAO, like are not really DAOs by their own definition. So like in theory, a DAO is like supposed to be this, but like I don't know how many DAOs actually have a clear idea of how to do it or what they're doing or what they're gonna do. But like, yeah, in theory, it's like this thing where, you know, you buy tokens and then vote with your tokens. And, you know, if it's like a DAO that's like buying something, which is most of these DAOs are really just like trying to buy something specific. And like, so maybe you'd vote on what you buy, or you'd vote on where it's displayed, or you'd vote on like, you know, how much compensation the heads of the DAO should get. That's like another common thing that people vote on. So yeah, I mean, that's generally the idea.
Right. So in this case, some people are like, yo, we're going to buy the Constitution. donate Ethereum to us, and we will have a Discord where we'll talk about what you get. And originally they were like, you will get a fractionalized piece of the Constitution. So, you know, if the Constitution cost, they were estimating between 10 and 15 million. Like if the Constitution costs 15 million and you put in $5, you'll get $5 divided by 15 million, like 0.0001% of the Constitution. And then you get that level of voting power. And they sort of, they framed it this way, but then they quickly kind of pivoted from that to something else.
Their Twitter like banner, I think, was initially like It's Always Sunny quote, and it was like, the gang fractionalizes the Constitution. Like, they were pretty explicit about that at the very beginning. And then, as you know, like, it changed really quickly.
Right. And it changed to like, you are buying governance tokens in a nonprofit entity that is trying to buy the Constitution, and you will get voting power on what is done with the Constitution, but you won't own the Constitution. That was kind of what they pivoted to. And they kept saying like, this is not an investment. This is not an investment. You are donating to a nonprofit, but you're going to get some sort of governance tokens. And the tokens were unfortunately called people, like $people tokens.
Oh God.
That's kind of like what, that's like how it was set up. And then here's kind of how this went on auction night. I have another clip to play of kind of like this live stream was streamed on YouTube by Sotheby's. And this is the moment that the Constitution is sold.
$41 million. It is Brooke's bid at 41. It's ahead of your phone. It's with Brooke at 41 million. This historic document with Brooke Lampley's bid at $41 million, viewed around the country at 41. No, are we sure? At $41 million, Brooke, looks like congratulations are in order to your bidder. David, you're out. Anyone else is welcome to jump in, but Brooke Lampley, the bid is yours for the United States Constitution at $41 million. Sold, $41 million, paddle 411.
So everyone is thrilled. Like, everyone's watching this YouTube, just to set the scene. Like, they're watching this and everyone's like posting all these memes in the comments section. They're like, we're going to make it. Like, WAGME is an acronym that people have been using. Like, we are going to buy the Constitution, WAGBTC. And then in the Discord, shit's like going crazy too. Everyone assumes that basically like this Sotheby's representative, Brooke, is the person who is representing Constitution DAO. And Constitution DAO raised something like $46 million. And so they were basically like, we got this. Like, it sold for 41. This is the Constitution. We did it. And then there's like this information vacuum for 15 minutes because no one is quite sure who Brooke actually represented. And then eventually it comes out that Constitution DAO did not win the Constitution. Someone else won the Constitution. And in my mind, like, this is where the chaos starts. I'll just skip ahead slightly in the story. The person who actually bought the Constitution was Ken Griffith, who is the CEO of Citadel, a gigantic hedge fund that was ultra controversial during the GameStop fiasco of earlier this year. He's one of the people who sort of bailed out some of the hedge funds that were shorting GameStop and lost a bunch of money. And so he's been looked at as like this supervillain for various reasons. And then he kind of jumped in and outbid this group of crypto investors, which was something like 8,000 people. And that's just like a really funny turn of events. But Jordan, you want to talk a little bit about the bidding strategy here? This is something that you've been ranting about for a while, and I completely agree with you. It's like, how and why did Constitution DAO lose this?
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it really couldn't have gone like any more perfectly or funnier than it did, really. But like, yeah, so I mean, this thing's going on, people are raising money, and like most in crypto, like it's happening all in public. So like, you know, everyone can see, including Ken Griffin, like, you know, how much this group is raising. So, I mean, I am not in the art market. I don't know a lot about like auctions, but I do know this, which is you can't go into an auction loudly declaring exactly how much you're willing to pay. Because, you know, there might be a billionaire who is going to do like the $1 more thing and outbid you, which is pretty much exactly what happened. Like the Dow went in and said, great, we have like $40, $46 million. We got this. And then, you know, it was just like $1 more almost. Right. It wasn't $1, like, but you know what I mean? And
the reason they couldn't go higher is because Sotheby's like takes a percentage, and like then there's, you know, these handling fees and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, they basically, the reason given by Constitution DAO's administrators as to why they didn't win was like they didn't have enough money to pay all the fees. And so, yeah, Ken Griffin sees, okay, well, they have somewhere in the neighborhood of like $44, $45 million. Like, I will simply bid until they can't beat us.
Which is nothing for him. Like, he's into, like, he buys art regularly, like millions of dollars worth of art. And like, this is who you're going up against. And like, it's tragic because it's like, you know that it's just like pocket change for him. Like, it's just like, yeah, okay, like here, like $47 million, sure. Like, and yeah, it's just like, this was like, it's funny because people kind of portrayed it as like, almost a win after, because it was like, oh, look who we were bidding against, like vindicated, like we were bidding against this like Wall Street guy the whole time. Because I mean, I don't think we've really like made it explicit in this conversation yet, but like this whole thing was like, it was essentially a GameStop-y thing. Like people were like, we're gonna rug the billionaires, like fuck billionaire private collectors, like this belongs to the people. And like people piled in from like all around the world to like specifically fuck over some billionaire like Ken Griffin, who ended up outbidding them.
Right, right. And so here is where I want to spend the bulk of our time talking about kind of the aftermath and the specifics of how this worked, because it's been a learning experience, I believe, for many people, but at the same time, I don't think they will have learned anything because it all kind of worked out in the end. But basically, Constitution DAO spun up this crowdfunding effort, and they used a platform called Juicebox to take contributions. And Juicebox, as I understand it, at least for this this crowdfunding effort, accepted exclusively Ethereum. And so
it runs on Ethereum. It runs on smart contracts.
Right. And so let's say, hey, I'm like young idealistic person. I don't know anything about cryptocurrency, but I want to buy the Constitution and I want to, you know, contribute to it. And I actually did this for the purpose of trying to figure out like how this works. Like I've recently started buying like very small amounts of cryptocurrency because we write about it a lot and I want to understand how it works, but I'm not putting like tons of money into cryptocurrency. But in any case, the way that it works is like, you can use any sort of crypto exchange to get Ethereum. But in my case, it's like I downloaded Coinbase, which is a popular wallet. I connected it to my bank account. I go to buy Ethereum. You connect your bank account. You say, hey, I want $200 of Ethereum. You send it to Coinbase and you're charged a fee. This transaction fee in this case was something like $3. So I put in $200, was down to $197. Then I have to send that money from Coinbase to an Ethereum wallet. In this case, I used something called MetaMask. I went from Coinbase and sent it to my MetaMask wallet. Coinbase took, I think, like $14 for that transaction. So I'm down to like $180 or something. Then it is in the MetaMask wallet and you need to send it to Juicebox, which is another transaction. In this case, I had to pay a gigantic fee. Called a gas fee, which is basically a fee to execute a transaction on the Ethereum blockchain. And in this case, the fee was $75. So I ended up sending $75 to Juicebox and paying $75 fee. So I ended up with like, I don't know, like $75 worth of people tokens that I had gotten from Juicebox and the Constitution DAO, and I had like $15 in Ethereum left over.
It's so wild.
So it's a lot of fees. And then what happened was they lost the auction, and you then had the option to get a refund. Like, you could get your money, your Ethereum back from Juicebox. But in order to get your money back from Juicebox, you had to pay the gas fees in reverse. And so I would have to pay the fees again to get it back to MetaMask. And then from MetaMask, I'd have to pay again to get it back to Coinbase. So basically what I'm saying is, like, I put $200 cash into Coinbase. After all was said and done, there's $75 in people tokens that I could exchange for Ethereum, but I would have had to pay a $75 fee about to get that back. And so I would have had my entire refund wiped out. And a lot of people were in this boat. There was like, you know, $46 million raised, something like that. And something like half of all contributions were around like $200 or less, meaning that like a huge portion of this was going to be wiped out by Ethereum gas fees. And so this made people really mad. Like, I was on the Discord, I was watching it. Everyone was like, you know, I'm getting rug pulled. Like, I'm getting scammed. I can't believe this is happening. This is unbelievable. Like, how could this happen to me? Other people were just kind of joking. Other people were like, well, just hold people tokens, whatever. So the end result was basically like people had two choices. They could either pay a ton of fees in order to get like some small amount of money back, or they could continue to hold the people tokens, which in my case, it was like 18,000 people tokens at some like exchange rate of whatever the, it was like 1 million people tokens per one ETH. So I don't know, I had like 17,000, and I was like, I'll just like leave it because like, I don't care. Like, as in, you know, my money's either going to get wiped out or I'll just like leave it in. And that's what a bunch of people ended up doing. And then, so the other thing, the other important thing is like the admins were like, we're going to shut this down. Like, we're not going to do anything with the people tokens. We recommend you take the refund. People like has no, Constitution DAO has no future. We're shutting it down. The people tokens are going to be worthless in the sense that like they can't be used for its original purpose, which was to for voting power in this specific organization. And so like
before they shut down, they were even going to like introduce another token before they like ultimately shut down, right? Like it was like this crazy back and forth.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was like, you know, they were like, we're going to actually create a new token called We the People token. So it was like WTP was going to be exchanged like for people, which was exchanged for ETH, which was like going to pivot to some future for the DAO. And then their lawyers told them, because they got lawyers because they had raised $40 million and people were mad at them. And they were trying to administer like a pretty complicated project on short timeline. They were posting announcements in the Discord and they were like, our lawyers recommended we just like shut this down and refund people's money. So, that's all to say, like, it was messy for about a week, and people ended up just holding people tokens, which I think you should hop in here and explain sort of, like, what is a token when it doesn't have a use? Like, there are many different types of tokens and cryptocurrencies and so on and so forth. There's obviously, like, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Cardano, all sorts of other ones, but these tokens, like, what are these tokens? What are people tokens?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right. People tokens are like within this category of crypto tokens called governance tokens, which are unique to DAOs. So, I mean, conceptually, these are supposed to be like not the same as just like, you know, Dogecoin or even Bitcoin or Ethereum. Like it's not a coin that is really supposed to be something that you buy as an investment. It's supposed to be something that has utility within the DAO. So you can like vote using it, like with a weighted vote, depending on how much of the coin you have and this type of thing. So that's like the general idea. But like what we saw with Constitution DAO, which I think is like probably representative of what pretty much all or most DAOs are, which is that like, you know, people were anticipating that this token would have a value. Because like governance tokens are cryptocurrencies, like whether you call them a governance token or something else, like they're tradable and they have a secondary market, and governance tokens are worth like it's like a multi-billion dollar market right now. So like, you know, people are like licking their lips over like, you know, what project is going to become a DAO and like airdrop a bunch of valuable DAO tokens next. And, you know, this is sort of getting away from the original idea of like, oh, we're, this is some kind of democratic tool, and sort of going into the realm of like, well, this is ultimately like an investment like any other. And obviously Constitution DAO really tried hard to push against this. Like, as you mentioned earlier, like they were like, this is not an investment. This is like a governance token. You're going to vote with this. But we saw that narrative really kind of slip away pretty quickly. Like, I think, from the beginning,
it's like everyone was investing in this as like, maybe I can make a lot of money. Maybe not everyone, but from the get-go.
From the beginning, some people were, right?
From the beginning, some people were definitely investing in this. Like, I'm going to buy a fractionalized portion of the Constitution. And the Constitution is a priceless artifact that in 50 years, like, this is going to be worth 10 times what I paid. Or maybe next week it's going to be worth 10 times what I paid because of, you know, collectibles and the rarity of this and the fact that it's a part of American history. And I will have a voting share in whatever happens. And, like, that's what Constitution DAO's founders were like, don't buy this as an investment. But based on the discussion and the Discord, it's like people were buying it as an investment. Like many people were saying the quiet part out loud. They were like, you know, like, I'm going to get rich off this shit. So yeah,
like we're going to have a DAO, millions of dollars and thousands of members, and it's going to be hot shit, and our governance token is going to be valuable. Like, right. That's kind of the idea, right?
Right. So then this brings us to basically like what happened and what is still happening, which is the Constitution DAO people are like, we disavow this project. We don't want anything to do with the project. Your people tokens are worthless, and you can get a refund off Juicebox if you want, if you pay gas fees. So they like step back from the project. Then the US dollars, like each people token was worth 0.01 cents at this time. And then they're like, we're going to step away from this, but anyone can get a refund from Juicebox. When they said that, the price skyrocketed, like not a little bit, like a lot of it. Like soon each people token was worth a penny. Then it was worth 3 cents. And like by the end of the weekend, like this all kind of went down on Thursday, like Thursday, the 25th of November. By the 27th, which I believe was like a Sunday, it was Thanksgiving weekend. Like by the end of Thanksgiving weekend, it had topped out at 17 cents a token, which I don't have my calculator in front of me, but basically it's like 1,000x what it was on Thursday.
Yeah, like we're not talking doubling or 10x. Like this is gain.
So I remind you, I put $75 into this. By the end of the weekend, my $75 was worth $2,500. Like it was unreal, like just crazy. And so this happened, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, because it's like an insane meme that got a lot of media attention, not just from us, but from like nightly news and like all sorts of people. And so, you know, obviously.
Yeah, like, it kind of became a meme coin. Like it was supposed to be a governance token, but then, you know, the DAO dissolved, and then it's like, what's left? It's like, well, it's a meme coin. It's kind of like Shiba Inu or anything else.
Right. And there was also, so there's a couple properties that made it like valuable in my opinion. Just like if I had to ascribe value to it, it's like, one, there was a limited number, so like there could not be more made because sort of all, basically all the people tokens were minted and then people walked away from the project and the juice box contract was shut down, which is where the tokens were created. Second, a lot of people did just take their Ethereum refunds, meaning they burnt the ability to get people tokens. And so it was a deflationary asset, I guess. There were like less
people
and less
were even, yeah, people were argument that like because DAO had sort of set a price for people, like 1 million people equals one ETH, like that was kind of like conceptually back too, right? I think some people were
that's the thing is like even if people tokens plummeted in value, you could always get the refund for them through the juice box thing at its like Ethereum exchange rate. And so sort of like accidentally people token was backed by the value of ETH, which is, you know, $4,000 per ETH. It's like you could exchange them. So in theory, like if the price of ETH goes up, the price of your people tokens go up because you can always just like get that refund at that base exchange rate. And then the third and final thing is like people were just like pumping this. Like people were buying them, people were selling them. There was just like a lot of attention there. And then this brings me to there was a Chinese Discord channel within the Constitution DAO channel where people were just speaking in Mandarin being like, we're pumping this coin, we're buying it, we're telling our friends to buy it, like there's all these whales buying it. And then there was also a Telegram channel in Mandarin that had like 18,000 people buying the tokens. And so it just like skyrocketed in value. And so you have this project that like these coins are not useful for anything. Not saying that like a lot of cryptocurrency is useful, but it's like the stated purpose of it is
DAO's
like,
gone.
The DAO's gone. And so it's literally just like a collectible coin. In any case, so it topped out at like 16 cents. And then for the last 2 weeks, its value has been plummeting, but it's still like, you know, it was down to like 5 cents, then 4 cents, then back up to six. And then as we're recording this, it's back up to 11 cents per coin. So it's like, I don't know what's going on here. Like this is kind of, it's hard to predict what's going to happen next, but it's like, this has become a valuable thing for people in this world. And a lot of people have and can make a lot of money. It's like starting to get listed on more and more exchanges. It's starting like, at first, if you wanted to sell it, you had to sell it on one of these various like decentralized exchanges, and you had to do a bunch of different.
You had to swap it, right?
Yeah, you had to swap it. So I sold mine because I was just like, I feel uncomfortable having all of this. Like I bought this as basically like, let's see what happens for the purpose of an article. But I sold mine when it was like 8 cents. And I used something called Uniswap, and I like had to go from MetaMask and then swap it onto this Uniswap thing, and I had to pay like $200 in gas fees there. And so like when all is said and done, I turned like essentially like $450 into $1,000, which is a huge, like more than doubled the money that I put into it, you know, in a week without doing anything. And without, I didn't do this as an investment, I just did it because I wanted to know what was going to happen with this like very chaotic thing. But it's like I only put $75 in, you know, lots of people put thousands of dollars or like one ETH and they have like 100x their money.
Right.
Which congrats to them, I guess. In any case, like this story is ongoing and
yeah,
the reason I wanted to talk about it is like the stories like this happen all the time in the crypto world. And it's just like for reasons that make no sense, but also have very real ramifications in terms of like some people are making a ton of money and some people are losing a ton of money. And it's like, it's slot machines, but it's like, I don't know. Like, did this go the way that you thought?
On one hand, yes, it did. I think you'll remember me saying in Slack, like, this is they're probably not going to buy the Constitution, and then they're going to try to, like, kind of make it a thing still. But, I mean, that's the limit of my foresight, because this went, like, completely haywire in, like, you know, it went in a lot of directions that I don't think anyone really expected. But I think what's kind of most interesting, like, is like the legacy of it. Like, after Constitution DAO, like, there was like an explosion of DAOs that are trying to like buy all sorts of stuff. Like, there's like a DAO that's like, we're gonna buy an NBA team, but then, like, you know, they're only gonna raise like a few million dollars, and like, they have all this fine print about how maybe it's not gonna be a team, maybe it's just a stake in a team, maybe it's not even a team in America, like, blah blah blah. And like, I don't know, like, it's hard not to feel that, like, you know, if not maybe not among like the DAO teams themselves, but at least like some investors, I think it's like pretty clear that some people are seeing like all of this DAO stuff as just like, it's almost like it's not an ICO, like an initial coin offering, if anyone listening remembers that whole thing. But it's kind of like an ICO, because it's like, you know, there's going to be this DAO token that gets airdropped, and it's going to be valuable, and like, that's why we're here. It's like, because we're kind of like bootstrapping this coin's value with sort of like the energy of a community of people, like, or like, you know, the millions of dollars of investments that it holds, like whatever asset they're buying, whether it's like the Constitution or a piece of art or like NFTs or the rights to touch a tungsten cube in Illinois once a year, which like also happened. But like, also just like Constitution DAO, most of these DAOs, like, they're promising to become a DAO, like, they're like, one day we'll hold votes, but, you know, they're calling themselves DAOs without being DAOs. Most of them are just selling NFTs,
right? That's really the crucial point here, is like, this was billed as a DAO, like, we are going to let you vote on what happens. The infrastructure for the DAO was never created, no vote was ever taken, all of the decisions were made by you know, a group of like 10 to 15 core developers who said, here's what we're doing, you know, sort of at the behest of the lawyers that they hired. The project was shut down. Like, nothing that they said they were going to do came to pass, and yet everyone is rich off of it. And so, like, and as you said, like, a lot of these other DAOs, like, they're not DAOs. They have DAO in the name, but, and they mint a token, but they're not governing anything. They're not creating anything. They're not doing anything. It's just like, we're going to create these tokens out of thin air and apportion them in some way, and hopefully we get enough press coverage or enough hype or enough, or someone mentions it at a congressional hearing or something, and it goes viral for a few minutes or days or hours, and people can sell and get rich.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, you know, some of these are like scams, actually. Like, there was, you know, like Anubis DAO, I think, was like one recently that sort of had like an alleged rug pull, or, you know, an actual rug pull, that like people were really mad about. There was like one called Snowdog DAO that like people were really upset about. So like, it's clear that like, you know, whether or not these are actual scams, like, people are losing a lot of money in some cases on these. And like, it's hard not to see how like the whole DAO thing like feeds into that, like, even as like marketing to kind of like draw people into like this whole thing. I mean, you know, like anything else in crypto, like, there's going to be some aspects of it that people are like exploiting, to eventually, like, you know, effectively either actually scam people, or just like, you know, make a lot of money at like other people's expense, essentially.
Right. Well, that's the current saga of Constitution DAO. I learned a lot about how crypto, I mean, there's lots of different aspects of crypto, but I learned a lot about how this particular aspect of crypto works, some of the mechanics of it. It was enlightening, and I had an enjoyable time watching it all unfold. I think I would have had a much less enjoyable time had I put a ton of money in and saw all this chaos and the token didn't skyrocket in price, which it very easily could have and probably should have gone the other way. Like, it doesn't make any sense that this is worth anything. And now you have a bunch of copycats and hangers on. But anyways, that's how DAOs work. That's how this DAO worked, at least. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next week. I think Matt will be back, but thanks for being here. I'm Jason Kebler and Jordan Pearson. Thank you for, thanks for being here. Bye. Have a good weekend.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.